Hi, and welcome to MathsIt Podcast H01. This podcast focuses on the higher GCSE topic of factors, powers, primes and roots. To use this podcast, you will need the corresponding worksheet H01. You can download this from www.maths-it.org.uk. Question 1 on the worksheet gives you some information to start with. It tells you that 13 multiplied by 23 is 229. Part A of the question asks you to write down the value of first 0.13 multiplied by 2.3. The key here is that it says write down, which means you don't have to do much calculating. You can see that 13 multiplied by 23 is equal to 229. To get 0.13 from 13, you divide by 100, and to get 2.3 from 23, you divide by a further 10. So what we need to do is divide 299 by 100 and then by 10. This should give you 0.299. The second part of this question is slightly more difficult, as it asks you 299 divided by 0.023. From the information we're given, we can see that 299 divided by 23 is 13. Now we're dividing by a smaller number, so the answer should be larger than 13. The number that we're dividing by is 23 divided by 1,000. So we need to multiply our answer by 1,000 since it's going to get larger. So we want 13 multiplied by 1,000, which is 1,300. There are two marks for part A of this question, one mark for each of those two answers. Now moving on to part B. Part B is related to part A. It asks you to work out the lowest common multiple of 26 and 23. Now, if you split 26 into its prime factors, you'll find that they are 2 and 13. This helps you, since 13 multiplied by 23 is given in the beginning of the question. And since the prime factors of 26 and the prime factors of 23, since 23 is a prime number, are all different, to find the lowest common multiple, we simply multiply those together. So we want to do 2 times 13 times 23. We already know that 13 times 23 is 299, so we simply multiply this by 2. 299 multiplied by 2 is going to be 2 less than 600, so 598. This is worth two marks. The first mark will be for splitting 26 into its prime factors. The second mark for determining that the lowest common multiple is 598. Now moving on to question 2. Part A of question 2 asks us to express 140 as a product of powers of its prime factors. The best way to do this is to do a factor tree. So write 140 down at the top and try to split it into two factors that give 140. For example, 7 times 20. You could of course use different factors to this, 14 times 10, and so on. If you use 7 times 20, you notice that 7 is a prime number. It can't be split into any other factors than 7 and 1. This is no good to us since we only want the prime factors and 1's not a prime number. So now looking at number 20, we can see that that can be split into two factors. So underneath the 20, split it into, for example, 4 and 5. Again, this can be done in other ways. See again that 5 is a prime number, so that can be circled. And we need to split 4 into its two factors. This can be 2 and 2. They're the only pair of factors that multiply to give 4, and they're prime factors. So the prime factors that are circled are then 7, 5, 2 and 2. To express 140 as a product of its prime factors, we need to write down 2 times 2 times 5 times 7. Since the question asks us to express it as the product of powers of its prime factors, the 2 times 2 can be expressed as 2 squared. So the final answer is 2 squared multiplied by 5 multiplied by 7. There are three marks for this question. The first mark will be gained by attempting to split 140 into factors. The second mark will be gained by successfully determining that the prime factors of 140 are 2, 2, 5 and 7. The final mark is gained by expressing it as powers of its prime factors, so for the final answer, 2 squared times 5 times 7. For the second part of this question, we need to find the lowest common multiple of 140 and 210. Again, you should notice that this part is very strongly related to the first part, since we need to find the common multiple of 140. The best way to do this is to also split 210 into a product of its prime factors. The way I did this was split it into 21 multiplied by 10, then split the 21 into 3 times 7, and the 10 into 2 times 5. So the prime factors become, in ascending order, 2, 3, 5 and 7. You'll notice that some of these factors are common to the prime factors of 140, 2, 5 and 7. To find the lowest common multiple of two numbers, you want to multiply together the common prime factors first, so 2 times 5 times 7. This gives us 70. We then need to multiply by the remaining factors in each of the factor trees, so 2 and 3. So we end up with 70 multiplied by 2 multiplied by 3, which gives us 420. There are two marks for this part of the question. One will be for finding the prime factors of 210, and the other for finding the lowest common multiple, 420. And now on to a very long question, question 3. Part A asks us to work out various powers. The first one, 12 to the power 0, should be fairly straightforward, since you should realise that anything to the power 0 is 1, so the answer here is 1. Part 2 asks us to find 2 to the power negative 4. If it's a negative power, it means that it's 1 divided by 2 to the power 4 in this case. So 1 over 2 to the power 4 is 1 over 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, or 1 over 16. So the answer here is a 16th. For part 3, we need to do 64 to the power 3rd. If you've got fractional indices, it means that we need to do the third root in this case, because it's 1 over 3. So we need to do the cube root of 64. The cube root of 64 is the number that we multiply together 3 times to give 64. So something times something times something is 64. This should be one that you recognise. You should recognise certain cube numbers. And the cube root of 64 is 4, since 4 times 4 times 4 gives 64. For the fourth part of this question, we have a fractional index that has both a numerator and denominator that are not 1. In this case, we need to find the third root of 1,000 and then raise that to the power 4. Alternatively, you could raise 1,000 to the power 4 first and then find the third root of that, but the former of this is probably the easiest. So we need to find the cube root, or third root, of 1,000, this is 10, and then raise that to the power 4, so 10 to the power 4, which is 10,000. That's a 1 with 4 zeros following it. Each of these parts of the question is worth 1 mark, which means that the final part, part 5, is worth 2 marks. This seems much more complicated, but if you break it down into stages, it can be fairly straightforward. Firstly, the negative index means that we want the reciprocal, so we can simply do 81 over 16, by flipping the fraction over, to the power 3 quarters. The power of 3 quarters means we need to raise it to the power 3 and find the fourth root, or find the fourth root, then raise it to the power 3. Since it's a fraction, we can do this to the denominator and the numerator separately. So starting with 81 as the numerator, to find the fourth root of that, we need to find out what multiplied by itself, then by itself again, then by itself again, gives 81. In this case, it's 3. We then need to raise this to the power 3, so 3 cubed is 27. Now looking at the numerator, 16, we need to find the fourth root of this, so something multiplied by itself, multiplied by itself, and multiplied by itself again is 16, in this case 2. Then raise that to the power 3, 2 to the power 3 is 8. So the final answer here is 27 eighths. You can simplify this further to mix numbers as 3 and 3 eighths, although this is not necessary. Part B of this question deals with thirds. The first part asks us to rationalise the denominator of 20 over root 5, and simplify the answer. To rationalise the denominator, we need to make it a rational number. Well, if we multiply root 5 by root 5, that would give us 5. So, to make sure we've got an equivalent fraction, we need to multiply the numerator and denominator by the same number. So we multiply 20 by root 5, giving us 20 root 5, and then root 5 by root 5, which gives us 5. So we have 20 root 5 over 5. But we need to simplify this. Of course, there's a common factor of 5 that you can divide through by. So you end up with 4 root 5. There's one mark here for rationalising the denominator, and the second mark for simplifying. Moving on to part 2, again to do with thirds, we need to expand a complicated expression, root 7 minus 2 root 2, multiplied by root 7 plus 2 root 2. We can use the FOIL method for expanding brackets, or any other method that you prefer. So first of all, root 7 multiplied by root 7 gives us 7. Then root 7 multiplied by 2 root 2 gives us 2 root 14, since root 2 times root 7 is root 14. Then we have minus 2 root 2 multiplied by root 7. This gives us negative 2 root 14. And finally, minus 2 root 2 multiplied by 2 root 2. Minus 2 times 2 is minus 4, and root 2 times root 2 is 2, so this becomes minus 8. We can then simplify by collecting like terms. 7 take away 8 is negative 1, and you'll notice that 2 root 14 minus 2 root 14 is 0, so the final answer is simply negative 1. Again, there's one mark here for the expanding part, and one mark for simplifying. And finally, part C of this question. It tells us that we have 8 multiplied by root 32 is equal to 2 to the power n, and we have to find the value of n. Now, these type of questions often come up. You need to notice that 8 and 32 can be expressed as powers of 2. 8 is 2 to the power 3, and 32 is 2 to the power 5, since 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 is 32. So we can rewrite this as 2 to the power 3 multiplied by the square root of 2 to the power 5. We should know that the square root is the same as the power of half. So again, we can rewrite this as 2 to the power 3 multiplied by 2 to the power 5 to the power of half. We can then use our rules of indices. 2 to the power 5 raised to the power of half, we can multiply the two powers together to get 2 to the power 2.5. Then we have 2 to the power 3 multiplied by 2 to the power 2.5, and while we're multiplying powers of the same number, we can add the indices. This gives us 2 to the power 5.5. So looking back at the original question, we need to find out what the value of n is. Well, we now have the expression on the left hand side as a power of 2, which is raised to the power 5.5, so n equals 5.5. Now question 4. Part A of question 4 asks us to write down the value of 25 to the power of half. Compared to some of the questions we've already done, this should be fairly straightforward. We should recognise that the power of a half is the same as the square root. So simply, square root 25, this is 5. Second part of this question says that 5n to the power 2/3 is equal to 125 to the power minus a third. Similarly to the last question, we need to recognise that 125 can be expressed as a power of 5. 125 is 5 cubed, so the equation can be rewritten: 5n to the power 2/3 equals 5 to the power 3 to the power minus a half. We can also divide by 5 on both sides, leaving n to the power 2/3 is equal to 5 cubed raised to the power minus a third divided by 5. Again, using the rules of indices, we can see that 5 to the power 3 to the power minus a half, since we can multiply these indices together, is 5 to the power minus 1. 5 to the power minus 1 divided by 5 gives us 5 to the power minus 2. So we have n to the power 2/3 is equal to 5 to the power minus 2. This will be your first mark. We then need to raise the whole of the equation to the power 3 over 2. Looking at the left hand side, you can see why we need to do this, because n to the power 2 over 3 to the power 3 over 2 becomes n to the power 1, or just n. So the other side then becomes 5 to the power minus 2 to the power 3 over 2. Again, using the rules of indices, we can see this is 5 to the power minus 6 over 2, or 5 to the power minus 3. So n equals 5 to the power minus 3. 5 to the power minus 3 can be written 1 over 125. Question 5. Part A, again here, is fairly straightforward compared to some of the things we've been doing. First part asks us to write as a power of 7, 7 squared multiplied by 7 to the power 9. So this is 7 times 7 multiplied by 7 times 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 7, which is 7 to the power 11. But we can simply add the two powers together, since we're multiplying powers of the same number. So 7 to the power 2 multiplied by 7 to the power 9 becomes 7 to the power 2 plus 9, or 7 to the power 11. Similarly, on part 2, we can use the rules of indices so that 7 to the power 11 divided by 7 to the power 4 is 7 to the power 11 minus 4, which is 7 to the power 7, one mark for each of these parts. Part B is slightly more complicated. It's still using the same rules of indices, but we have to form some simultaneous equations. From the first equation, 3 to the power x multiplied by 3 to the power y is 3 to the power 12, we can see that if you add the powers x and y, this should equal 12. This gives us our first equation, x plus y equals 12. For the second equation, again, looking at the rules of indices, we should see that x minus y must equal negative 6. We've now got simultaneous equations, x plus y equals 12, x minus y equals negative 6. If you add these two equations together, you can eliminate y. So you get x add x is 2x, y add minus y is 0, 12 add minus 6 is 6, so 2x equals 6. Dividing both sides by 2 gives x equals 3. So this is our first answer. To find the second answer, we need to substitute x equals 3 into either of our previous equations. So if you use the first one, 3 plus y equals 12, so y equals 9. There are three marks here. The first mark is for forming the simultaneous equations from the original equations, the second mark for finding x, and the third for finding y. Part C of this question asks us to find C in terms of k, given that x is equal to 4k and the square root of 4 over x is equal to 2c. The first part of this question is to substitute, so we end up with the square root of 4 over 4k is equal to 2c. This is another question where we have to recognise that 4 can be expressed as a power of 2. In fact, 4 is 2 squared, so we can rewrite the equation as 2 squared over 2 to the power 2k, all to the power of half, since square rooting is the same as to the power of half. We now need to use our rules of indices to simplify this. 2 squared over 2 to the power 2k is simply 2 to the power 2 minus 2k. If we then raise this to a power of half, we simply multiply 2 minus 2k by a half. This gives us 1 minus k. So our equation now becomes 2 to the power 1 minus k equals 2 to the power c. Therefore, c equals 1 minus k. There are two marks for this question. The first mark will be for changing things to the powers of 2. The second for simplifying this to get c equals 1 minus k. And now question 6. Question 6, before it gets us started, tells us that x is equal to 5 to the power p and y is equal to 5 to the power q. This needs to be used for the whole of this question. Part A asks us to express in terms of x and or y, firstly, 5 to the power p plus q. Again, this is using rules of indices. Now we know that 5 to the power p plus q is the same as 5 to the power p multiplied by 5 to the power q. Since 5 to the power p is x and 5 to the power q is y, this simply gives us x multiplied by y, which we can express as xy. The second part asks us to express in terms of x and or y 5 to the power minus 2q. We want to try and rewrite this so that it's in terms of 5 to the power q. So the negative power means that we have the reciprocal of this, so it's 1 divided by 5 to the power 2q. And 5 to the power 2q can be expressed as 5 to the power q squared. So we end up with 1 over 5 to the power q squared. Again, since 5 to the power q is y, this is simply 1 over y squared. Part 3, we have to look at 5 to the power p minus 2. Again, splitting this into separate powers, we have 5 to the power p divided by 5 squared. 5 to the power p is x, and 5 squared is 25. So this can be expressed as x over 25. There are 3 marks for this part of the question, 1 for each of those different sections. We're then told that xy is equal to 5, and x squared y is equal to 625. There are 2 approaches here. The first approach uses substituting in x and y to start off with. So for xy equals 5, we get 5 to the power p multiplied by 5 to the power q equals 5. Using the rules of indices, we see that the indices p plus q must equal 1. From the second equation, we get 5 to the power p squared, 5 to the power p then squared, multiplied by 5 to the power q. Using the rules of indices, this gives us 2p plus q must be the same as 4, since 625 is 5 to the power 4. Using these simultaneous equations, if you subtract the first equation from the second, you get p equals 3. We can then substitute this into the first equation to get q equals negative 2, and we've solved the question. The alternative method here is to divide the second equation, x squared y equals 625, by the first equation, xy equals 5. Now x squared y divided by xy simply leaves us with x. 625 divided by 5 leaves us with 125. So x equals 125. Then substituting in, x is 5 to the power p, we get 5 to the power p is 125. So p must equal 3, since 5 to the power 3 is 125. We can then use the first equation, xy equals 5, to find the value of y. We know that x is 125, so dividing by 125, we get y is equal to 1 over 25. Since y is 5 to the power q, 5 to the power q is 1 over 25. 1 over 25 is 5 to the power negative 2, so q is negative 2. As you see, we get the same answers with this alternative method. There are 2 marks for this question, 1 for finding p, 1 for finding q. Now on to question 7, the final question. It says the number 48 can be written as 2 to the power p multiplied by q, where p is an integer and q is a prime number. You should recognise that this looks like the product of prime factors, since 2 is a prime number and it says that q is a prime number. So the easiest way to do this question is to split 48 into its prime factors using a factor tree. So you could do 48 is 12 multiplied by 4. Splitting the 12 up could be 3 multiplied by 4, and splitting the 4 up could be 2 multiplied by 2. So for the 12, we've got a prime factor of 3. We then need to split 4 up again, which we can do into 2 multiplied by 2. So our prime factors become 3, 2, 2, 2, and 2, or 2 to the power 4 multiplied by 3. Comparing this to 2 to the power p multiplied by q, we can see that p is equal to 4 and q is equal to 3. There are 2 marks here, one mark for finding the prime factors of 48 and one mark for identifying p and q. That concludes Maths at Podcast H01.